The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
Well, the stark reality of the pandemic's impact on many small businesses is starting to come sharply into focus as we move towards the next stage of reopening. For some, like our next guests, it simply wasn't worth keeping their business going with social distancing and no seasonal trade. Dylan's restaurant in Timoleague in West Cork was a Michelin-recommended cosy nook. It was set up by Richard Milne and his partner Valeria Ventura. We caught up with them earlier and I first asked Richard if they'd a chance to reopen at all this year.
After the winter, we reopened for one weekend, and you know, we stocked up our wine, we stocked up our food. You know, it's quite a big investment. I mean, generally, restaurants in rural areas like that, they'll trade in the summer and they'll be doing quite well, and then come the winter, you know, by the end of the winter season, they're all in the red, really. And then you trade back up through the summer. So for us to open like that in the red and then after one weekend be closed down and then stay closed for this length of time, to reopen to what's probably going to be a pretty big recession, it just didn't make any sense.
And Valeria, putting out the tweet announcing the permanent closure of our beloved Dylan's restaurant, I'm sure that was a very difficult tweet for you to send.
Yes, I mean, it was fairly emotional when we did send it. And, you know, we were writing it all day, you know, trying to get the wording right and everything, because, you know, you're trying to postpone that final push, you know. And then when we did send that message, you know, hit send, we were holding hands, really, because it's, you know, it's the end of an era for us, you know.
And have you found yourself, Valeria, looking back at the last few evenings that you were open and obviously not realising that, you know, on that last night, that was going to be the last meal you would serve in a restaurant that you worked so hard to build up and put together?
Yeah, I think that's what I was saying to Richard as well. That's kind of the thing that I found the most difficult, you know, not knowing that it was the last time when it was the last time. Because, you know, there's some sort of kind of sentimentality that goes with your, you know, winding down and knowingly winding down. And we did our last two services were with those distance measures and the, you know, the extra measures to keep everybody safe. So it was already a little bit weird. It is very emotional because you are saying goodbye to something that's so close to your heart that has taken up, you know, all of your time completely. Every, you know, waking hour you've been, you know, we were thinking about it and planning and trying to make it better. You know, we're always trying to make it better. And so, yes, it is emotional because it's not our choice. You know, it was taken out of our hands. So I think that's, you know, that gives you that kind of, oh, this is just a little bit unfair feeling. So I think that's why, you know, it was so hard.
It was inside a beautiful old traditional Irish bar. You had kept the bar counter and the shelving, so you had all of that atmosphere and ambience. And many of the reviews, one review there I was just looking at from McKenna's Guide, and it said the food Richard Milne is serving is so seamlessly wrought, so supremely elegant, that he makes everyone else look like they're trying too hard.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing with that is it's about trying to make something that's very simple, you know, and elevate it without complicating it. And I think that's the kind of skill that I honed, you know, throughout my career. I kind of, that's the direction I went in. You know, I found I was kind of starting off in these fine dining restaurants that were a little bit too fussy, and, you know, then I didn't realise why I wasn't enjoying myself. And then I kind of progressed on to restaurants that were serving, you know, just on a par with all these restaurants, but just serving very simple food, you know, maybe one or two ingredients on a plate, just treated very well and respected from, you know, the time that the seed is planted or, you know, the animal is reared to the time that it's killed and the whole process. And it does really make a difference to the end result. And I suppose that's the kind of experience we wanted. You know, we had our tunnel out the back and we grew a small amount of our own produce. And, you know, it was kind of picked half an hour before service. And, you know, there's very few places that have the opportunity to do that.
And you've been doing it since 2015 at Dylan's.
Yeah.
Are you devastated, Richard, by this?
I think the devastation comes from it being out of our control. It is devastating completely.
When you look at the government's handling of the pandemic, you look at the the necessary health precautions that have to be taken while balancing the economy and people's lives and their economic lives as well as their physical lives. What do you think of the government's handling? Do you feel more could have been done or should be done to support you and businesses like you?
I mean, I suppose governing at all like that is very difficult because you're only ever going to keep half of the people happy. In hindsight, it's I can say that yes, I don't think they handled it very well. You know, I was looking up at the grants that they were offering. So you're offered €2,500 grant for online marketing. And I'm kind of thinking, OK, who are you online marketing to if there's no tourists coming? And really, is that going to benefit a business? Then the other voucher was for financial advice, €2,500 for financial advice. I don't need a financial advisor to tell me that in that kind of a situation, my business is in big trouble. You know, what I need is €5,000 worth of vouchers to go and spend with my local suppliers, with my veg supplier, with my meat supplier. And in doing so, you're supporting two businesses. You're supporting the restaurant and you're supporting these guys who've also lost a lot of business, you know, the restaurant suppliers. You know, they introduce these 2 metre social distancing and 90-minute timelines. And that's for the safety of the customers and staff. I understand that completely. Then somebody lobbies them. And all of a sudden they're changed. So you're kind of thinking, you know, what is it that's going on here? You know, why are they implementing these? If it's 2 metres and 90 minutes, then that's it. If it's not, then what exactly are they doing? Or do they know what they're doing? You know, are they, it seems to me like it's the blind leading the blind. And, you know, there just seems to be certain things that are just a little bit unfair. You know, you drive around and see these petrol stations and have been seeing these petrol stations since the start of the lockdown. And there's people in the outside areas and they're drinking their takeaway coffees and it's you pass them and it looks like as if nothing's going on. And then you pass these small restaurants that aren't supported by these massive oil companies and they're closed.
Given what you've lost, you sound pretty angry about it.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, look, you know, you have to look at it and say, OK, we're safe. All of us, my family are safe. My family are well. We have a roof over our head. You know, we can feed ourselves. So, I mean, at the end of the day, what have I lost? I've kind of lost a bit of ego, you know, my pride is dented. You know, yes, it's what I wanted to do. It's always what I wanted to do. Has it made me realise now that, I mean, I suppose I always knew it, but I was probably a bit too stubborn to realise it. But that if you know, if you want to open a business, it has to be, you know, make you good money. So you do have a buffer.
If you do open up again, what do you think you might do differently? Will you actually be thinking about risks like this in the future, in terms of where you might open, how you might open, the kind of business?
Yeah, I mean, we will. We'll have to take everything into consideration now. You know, I mean, when you're looking at even your insurance forms, and you're kind of going, do we want to pay the extra for this? You know, if there's a virus outbreak, you're kind of going, no. I mean, Jesus, there's never been one, and then suddenly one comes along. So I think I'll be ticking those boxes in future. And yeah, I'm not sure yet. I don't think I've thought that far ahead. And at the moment, I mean, our industry is on its knees. I think this is early days. I think when the government stopped the wage subsidies, I think bigger businesses, you know, hotels, people are going to lose jobs in the bigger industry.
And what's it been like at home with the family as this has unfolded and gradually coming around to making this very difficult decision that, you know, it's not coming back? Have there been tears shed?
I suppose not. For me, no. I'd be very kind of logical and practical like that. So I'd be very quick to say, OK, look, if you know, yes, I've put so much into this. You know, I mean, you're working kind of 18, 20 hours a day, 6-7 days a week. So, the amount of it's not just financial. You know, you're putting your heart and soul and your blood, sweat and tears into something. But you know, there's no point in hanging on to it if it's gone. You know, and I think, yeah, that it was easier for me than to kind of close the door on it.
Well, whatever you do decide to do, I wish you the very best of luck with it. Richard Milnes and Valeria Ventura, thank you very much for talking to us today.
Thank you very much, Richard.